Hello, 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 everybody, and welcome to an amazing and another episode of Av Unfiltered. It is definitely Av Unfiltered today because there was a necessary adjustment that needed to take place. We had a full episode ready and prepared for today, but in wake of current events, there was a necessary shift that needed to happen. So today, I need you to tune in to Av Unfiltered in a different way with a different lens. Meet Jordan Gulledge. She was born in Dothan, Alabama, my hometown, where she was raised by her mom, grandparents, and extended family. At age 9, her mom married and had her sister and had a family of 4 that moved from Montgomery, Alabama to site pastor a church with a predominantly black congregation. After high school, Jordan attended Troy University, where she received her bachelor's in fine arts in dance, as well as a bachelor's in theater. It was there her love and passion grew for the arts as well as all people. After Jordan dove back into full-time ministry as the director of theater and dance at Northview Christian Church. She then launched her own dance studio and company, Halls of Ivy, and was the artistic director at Second Studio Center for Performing Arts. Jordan met me briefly in 2015, where she assisted in putting together a dance conference that I was hosting in Dothan, Alabama. From there, she was asked to join the company, The Rain Dance Company, which further grew their relationship. Jordan currently serves at Relentless Church in South Carolina as Pastor Aventer's personal assistant, as well as the volunteer coordinator for Relentless First. She is passionate about Jesus and representing what his love truly is to all people. Everybody, please welcome Ms. Jordan Gulledge to Av Unfiltered. Hey, Jordan.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing so good.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much for being a part of this necessary show where I pivoted. And the show is called Through Our Eyes. And there was no one greater to have this necessary conversation with than you, Jordan. I'm grateful that you accepted the invitation, and it is so necessary that we don't continue our regularly scheduled lives for the sake of a cause. And Absolutely. This intentional conversation, I feel like, will bless so many people.
Absolutely.
I am so, so, so happy to receive you as my guest today. Thank you for being with me.
Thank you for having
me. So we are here for all of our listeners and people watching, and I just need to take a moment to say that what we are experiencing in our nation has echoed across our nation and throughout the world. There have been many lives lost through over-policing and abuse of authority. And at this point, people are fed up, they're tired. And I feel like this conversation will shift things in a way that hasn't been seen yet, because there have been a lot of men, black women, black men, white men, having conversations, but I have yet to see a very strong black woman and a white woman having this conversation. People have gotten to know you a little bit better, Jordan, from your bio, and it's obvious that we are alike in many ways, but at first notice watching, people will see one thing: you're white and I'm black. Mm. With everything happening across our nation in wake of current events surrounding the murder of yet another black man, can you please give me a quick summary of what you feel is happening right now?
Well, first of all, I want to say just thank you so much for having me on Av Unfiltered. For those that don't know, I am your assistant. And so I'm with you all the time behind the scenes, helping you, seeing all of these women just bring so much life to this show and so much revelation to whatever you're talking about. So to even be your guest today is such a huge honor that you would want to hear what I have to say. And I think that is the first step, is that you trust me, mm-hmm. and I trust you.
Absolutely.
And you trust what I have to say matters, and I trust what you have to say matters. And that's why we're about to have this conversation, because I think it's so critical for white people, and specifically white women, since I am one, to hear what there are some other thoughts that you could have on this topic. Mm-hmm. To get uncomfortable, to talk about what needs to be said. We're in a time where we can't really sense our words anymore.
Wow.
We need to say it. because the Bible says out of the mouth of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Absolutely. So whatever's in your heart, just say it.
Yeah.
Get it out there, because we're going to thank you for honesty. And we're not going to come at you with harshness. I'm just going to simply ask you why.
Yeah.
Why? And these are the conversations that we need to have. I think that what is happening today in this world is truly heartbreaking for me to watch. And there have been thoughts that I have had over the past couple of days that, honestly, even being raised the way that I was, and even over half my life being around predominantly people of color,
yeah,
there are, what I'm realizing is there are still things that I've personally never thought about.
Wow.
There are still issues that are coming up in my heart that I have never thought about. Still, I've never really been provoked to the emotion of laying flat on my face and crying.
Wow.
But I did this time. And it was like, why did it even take me so long to get to a place of emotion when people of color have been my life?
Wow.
And so it caused me to ask some serious questions. This was the first instance that I posted about this happening, about a Black Lives Matter movement, about another Black person losing their life unjustly. And I made the post, and I thought I was going to feel better after that. I thought that once I made the post that the burden and the heaviness would be lifted. I stood for Black people. I said what I needed to say. And honestly, it just got worse.
Wow.
Once I said my piece, once I made it known to my white friends, my Black friends, anybody. And so I just began to pray, and I was like, Lord, I still feel so empty. Mm. I still feel so helpless, because I'm not a person that can change the law. I don't sit in a place of power and authority, the people up there that actually can make things happen.
Yeah.
I'm just one person that lives in this country.
And that's beautiful, and I'm only going to interrupt you right there, because you said you're not in a place of authority. You actually are. I know we're seated and we're having a conversation, but I'm going to do everything in my power to push this episode. Here's why. Because just as I knew, people needed to know and hear you.
Thank you.
You are a white woman who is standing for something, not because you want to be accepted, because it's who you are. Absolutely. And because I can speak from a place of not what I heard, but what I know, I value your opinion in this moment, because some people, you know, like me, are tired. And so we'd rather just stick to our own. Some of us, I'm being a voice for other people. They're all the same. What's the motive? All of that. Because even when I see the injustice posted, when I see the love posted and white people coming together for us and rallying around us, we're so heartbroken and we're so, you know, timid to accept that love, that it's like, this is a trick of the enemy again.
Yeah.
We have to catch it. We have to be like, all right. The enemy will play tricks on your mind.
Absolutely.
And it's what I know, but you get it. And you have principles that you live by and that you were taught that ensures your belief system every single day. And I can speak to that. I can attest to that, because I see it. So how were you taught? And then what shifted into making you adopt the mindset you have about all races, and especially people of color who don't look like you?
This is such a great question. It's interesting, and I love that the way that my life went, and it's really, honestly, not until this happened that I've realized that my life had to look like the way it looked. So most people don't know that my biological father was not in my life. He left before I was born.
You mean to tell me white women, some have absent fathers too?
We do. Yes, we do.
No, I'm just saying. Yeah. Isn't that great? Not great in a way like that, but because, usually Black people are acting out. They didn't have a father in their home.
Exactly.
Great. Continue.
Yeah, no, it happened to me. And that's nothing negative on him. I met him at 25. We have a great relationship today.
I love that.
He's amazing. God is, the power of restoration,
yes, is
incredible. But it had to happen that way for this moment, because if he would have been in my life, I would have been raised completely different.
Wow.
I would have had completely different mindset. My life would have never gone the direction that it went. And what I love is that from 0 to 14, I was raised predominantly around white people. And what I've learned and what I want to speak to for white people, especially in my generation, is I feel like it, because it is the majority, is no one taught us to be racist. No one said, you're not to like black people. You are better than a black person.
Wow.
You can treat black people however you want. You don't have to listen to black people. No one verbally says that to you. So it's not what you're taught. It's what wasn't explained to you.
Wow.
In the white home.
Oh my God. Hold on. Let me pause. Did you guys hear that? She said it's not what you were taught. It's what wasn't explained. That is so good. I'm posting it and I'm going to say, hear me, white people, nice white people, nice black people. You can only go by not what you're taught, but what you weren't taught and what wasn't expressed to you and what wasn't divulged to you and what wasn't expressed to you and what wasn't divulged to you and what wasn't explained to you. Oh my God. Look at the weird relation.
So we, Back when I was a kid, I went to a predominantly all-white church. And this is an example that I can use because I feel like this is going to resonate with so many white people today. We had a van ministry where our church had vans. And me and my uncle, who are two white people, and I did this as a child. I was probably 7 or 8. We would go to the church, pick up the vans, and then we would have the list of addresses. And we would go on Sunday and pick up all the people that needed a ride to church.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 7 or 8. Every person that we picked up was black.
Wow.
If it's not explained to me why every person we pick up is black, I assume these things. Do black people not have cars? All black people need rides to church? Most of the ones we picked up were black children. So it's like, do black moms not want to come to church with their kids?
Woo.
If it's not talked about and if it's not explained to me, Jordan, we're picking up this kid because their mom may be working today.
Right.
Yes, they have black skin, but it's not the reason they need a ride to church. If that's not said to me, then as a child, when I'm 5 to 7, I'm just grabbing stuff and I'm building my foundation for how I see people.
Woo.
If I'm a child and I never see mommy and daddy have black friends in our home and socialize with them, then when I go to school, I'm not picking black kids to have as my friends because I don't think that's what it's supposed to be.
Do you understand me that you said basically, foundationally, there's a database that starts with us as kids?
Absolutely.
There's a database that is created inside of us based on our parents' worldview and what they choose to share with us or not share. You're telling me that you have created as a child, nobody had to teach it to you. You formed your own opinion about certain things based on what you saw, not what you heard. So for some people, it wasn't taught. It was just a gradual accumulation of experiences and instances that would inform your psyche that this must be that because
Absolutely.
Of this, or that must be that because of this. I had the same thing. I had neighbors across the street, Crystal, Justin Hall, love them so much. We would tag team. Our parents would, you know, carpool.
Mm.
I didn't understand a difference when they ate. I ate, and when we ate at our house, they ate if they came over to play. I didn't really feel that it was like, you're white. Do you like collard greens? No, you're hungry. Eat the food.
Exactly.
That's the difference.
My thing was that, you know, we were picking people up. So in our heads as children, it's made to be seen in the white home as we're helping black people.
All the time.
So I'm on the van thinking I'm doing a good thing. Oh, we help the black people. As in they need me to be able to bring them to church. As in they need my permission. So we go from a generation to where black people are looked at as the help into a generation to where black people need our help.
Girl!
Into a generation to where black people are like, I do not need permission to be a human.
Oh, my God.
But it's so rooted and it's so naturally learned as a child because we learn either by what we see or vocally. And it wasn't until I was 14 years old that somebody took the time to address something to me. I was 14. We had just moved to Montgomery, and my stepdad.
Montgomery, how?
Right.
How strategic? How ordained by God? Montgomery, Alabama. Look it up. Montgomery bus boycott.
Absolutely.
Montgomery civil rights. Look it up and figure out why she was there. Go ahead.
I didn't know at the time what was about to happen to my life. Because for the first 14 years, it was all white people. But my stepdad knew what we were about to do. We were about to be the site pastors, our family, of an all-black church. And he needed to know, because he was my stepdad and he didn't get involved till 9, he had no part in that psyche training from 0 to 9. So what is in her head? How does she view people of color?
Right.
He didn't just assume that he knew I liked people of color, but how do you really see them? And he asked me that day, I never forget, it was my second week home from high school. I come in the living room, and before I could even put my book bag down, he wants to jump into a deep conversation, which is normal for him. But he asked me out of the blue, he said, would you ever marry a black man? Without thinking, without hesitating, I said, oh, no.
Wow.
Now, I know that's different from what people may see today or think of me today.
No, it's
after
good.
All my posts.
Take us where we need to go.
And so I said.
But why was the immediate, oh, no?
Yeah,
were
I
you
said
afraid?
No.
Were you afraid of the response?
I did not say it out of disgust. I said it out of, oh, no, Dad, you don't have to worry about that with me. Like, you don't, as in, I was going to get in trouble.
Right.
And then he didn't get loud with me. He didn't get angry with me. He simply just said, well, why?
Wow.
He just asked me why. And I looked at him and I was like, I don't know. I said, well, can I? And he was like, what do you mean, can you? He was like, absolutely you can. And it was it took a five minute conversation that 14 years of psychological training about how I saw people of color was completely diminished. All it takes for parents to do is to sit with their children and ask them in 5 minute conversation, how do you see someone that doesn't share your skin? Why do you not let your white children have black children in their play dates? Or better yet, why does the black kid always have to come to your home? Why don't you trust that your white child can go spend the night with her black friend? I've heard that over and over. Well, baby, it's fine, but maybe she should just come over here.
Oh, God, I'm telling you. Oh, you're so loaded. Ah, part two already? I'm like, where is the time going? Stop it. Slow it down. Do something, y'all. Listen, Jordan, hear me when I say this. I know, and I'm going to go back to the beginning because you guys were probably expecting to see LaToya Luckett. It's been promoted that way. I told LaToya, I said, honey, I'm pushing you back, not in a bad way. And you know she's one of my best friends.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you don't know who she is. You're going to know her because there are so many people that have to understand Jordan, that there are other Jordans who are thinking the way they are, not because they only had the 0 to 9 or the 0 to 14. They've had a lifetime of unexplained, okay, thoughts about what their database has taken in for their minds.
Yeah.
So once you practice a particular way of being for years and years and years upon years, it doesn't necessarily make it wrong. It's just what you knew to do.
Absolutely.
Based on what you saw, based on what you experienced, based on what you've have aligned yourself with.
Absolutely.
You were born to Shannon. Shannon came together with your biological father. That did not work. She came together with Brian. It took Brian. Let me tell you how God had this in mind. When God spoke Jordan and God brought her into her mom through her dad, he knew that Jordan would change the world. He knew that Jordan would need to speak in 2020 to a nation that is going bananas. She's lily white, not mixed, not, you know, artsy or whatever you know,
absolutely,
all of this kind of stuff where people are just, you know, oh, the birds and the trees. Mm-hmm. She's white. And I'm not saying this as a stereotype. I need you to hear me when I say this. She's proud of it. I had a same friend, a best friend who lived in the same trailer park as her. Feel me? That's where I'm going. So Jordan, the Jordan of 2020, mm-hmm. a white woman, can share with us another perspective that I haven't heard yet. Just keep that in mind. That as she grew, she just decided in herself, as a kid, because kids are easily impressionable, mm-hmm. that God, oh, wow, these people are nice people. I'm helping them out. It immediately gives you an innate ability to shift yourself in a position of priority without even trying because yes. of what you saw.
Yes.
And since, oh, these people have to do this a certain way, but I don't need that type of permission. My privilege allows me X, Y, and Z. It kind of makes you think, hey, am I better or what? So your dad asks you a question. You immediately are nervous about the outcome. There are a lot of kids today that don't want to be looked or frowned upon by their other friends and by their parents or grandparents for that matter who are still living or even great grandparents. For that matter, we have people who didn't do this on purpose. It's just what they saw.
Literally.
Jordan, we have mm-hmm. the best laughs. We have done everything together, sleepovers, dance together. We sing Beyonce together. We make up. You cover my kids sometimes. You're a true sister. You've cried with me, laughed at me, see me at my best, see me at my worst. You're my assistant, and mm-hmm. I trust you with everything in me. But did you ever feel a way about serving a black woman in this way? And when I say serving, let me fix it. In a world of ministry, we serve. We serve people every day. So that's not a negative term. And the fact that I even have to explain this, but this is the climate we're in. People are looking to dissect your words.
Yeah.
How were you feeling when, first of all, you sent me a random text. I want to come. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I mean, I can babysit. I can do this. I can do that. But I feel like I'm supposed to be there. Tell me about that. Tell me how you came to that.
Well, you know, by that time, when it comes to I guess like racism or seen in a way where it's like, oh, how are people going to view me if I go and work for a black family? And not only just work at their church, but work really, really close to the family. That really wasn't even an issue in my head. By that point, I had gotten to the place in my life where those opportunities excite you.
Mm-hmm.
Those opportunities to be able to show the world even more that this is where you stand, mm-hmm. and these people are my family,
wow.
and I will serve, and I will work, and I will love on them just like I would do anybody else. And it helped also just for me to continue to beat something that does not need to exist.
Wow.
And every chance I get, that's what I was saying at the beginning, the post didn't make me feel good, and I asked God, what can I do? And I literally decided that, you know what? I'm not going to overwhelm myself. I will take it step by step. I said, God, once I do one thing, show me what the next thing is to do.
That's right.
He showed me that I could physically go to the protest and be there. Is that going to bring a lot of murder charges to the killer? Probably not. Not my presence there, but that's what I could do.
Right.
And then after the protest, I said, God, show me the next thing. You asked me to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? And after this, I'm going to say, God, show me the next thing.
That's so beautiful.
How can I keep helping? How can I keep beating this thing to the ground until it doesn't exist anymore? And I will serve until the enemy is mad. I will keep serving people of color. I will keep loving people of color. And I will keep showing white people that look like me. Because here's the issue. White people don't even see all white lives don't matter to some white people.
Whoa. Stay right there.
And that's a problem. So we can't even get to Black Lives Matter if you don't even think all white lives matter, because you have this stereotypes of, well, we're the first class white people. We don't have tattoos. We look clean. We live in these kinds of homes. We eat at these kinds of places. We dress like this. We're wholesome Christian white people.
Wholesome. Come on, sugar.
These other white people that are more artsy, they're a little bit more liberal in their thinking.
Yeah.
They may have tattoos. And I'm not being sensitive with my words, because this is what's in people's hearts. There are people out there that see people with tattoos and think they feel some type of way. That's real. they think, oh, all the white people that protest have pink and blue and wild color crazy hair. They're artsy. So when I went to the protest the other day, I was in the middle of the street and we're walking down and we're coming up on these areas that more of your stereotypical high-class white people are going to be staying, eating, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, I need you to get on the outside now.
Come on.
The outside of the street. And in my head, I already been marching a mile. I'm already breathing heavy. Like, I'm out of breath. I need some water. And he's like, get on the outside of the street now. Because it's sad, but it's real. They need to see somebody that looks like them, who they think belongs to them,
Woo!
Who they think was raised like them. They wouldn't look at me and know that I was raised in a trailer park where the front of the trailer park, the floors were sand with water bugs in our home. Poor, broke, but so much love in the home that I didn't even notice it.
And didn't care.
But they wouldn't see that because they see me now and they think, wow, she must have been raised like this. So what is she doing out there?
Wow. And wait. Not only what is she doing out there, why aren't I out there if she's out there?
Exactly.
The questions, the comments that you made, Jordan, oh my gosh, when you said you're asking the Holy Spirit, and everybody may not feel like,
right,
you know, whatever your faith is, but I've had a lot of friends mm-hmm. who don't look like me. What can I do? What do you think you should do? That's right. The question. What is it that you feel in your spirit if Alton Sterling or Philando Castillo or Ahmaud Arbery mm-hmm. or Tamir Rice or Emmett Till or right. Rodney King beating the street on camera, or if it was your mom, what would you do?
Exactly.
If it was your brother, your dad, replace his black face with your father's white face. Replace Trayvon's black body mm-hmm. with your white son's body.
Yeah.
Here we go. Trayvon Martin, handsome black guy, hoodie, Skittles. I'm sorry. What's the problem? Replace him with whoever.
Yeah.
A white person. Justin Bieber, Jonathan Osteen walking down the street. Not even a thought.
Yeah.
Not a thought.
And what I've learned too is that, you know, growing up in theater, they teach you method acting, which is where when you're trying to shoot a scene that you need some emotion, and if you've never been through that exact thing, you need to tap into something that can cause you.
Can pull you there.
That
yeah,
can pull you there.
I'm telling
and
you.
What I've realized is that's what we're asking white people to do, is to put your son in the place of that son. But what I realized in school is sometimes I would try to replace it and I still wouldn't get that emotion.
Wow.
So why can't, even when you tell white people, what if it was your son? They're not affected. Why, when you see other white people protesting, are a certain group of white people still not moved? What is it? What is the issue that cannot provoke you to that? And I still stand by. I made a post and I said, if you don't have some sort of emotion when you watch this video, or you're just like, wow, that's really sad, but you go on about your life, there is a good chance you do not do life with a lot of people of color.
Wow.
You may pass them at work and say, oh, hey, how are you? Or you may see, you know, the black boy that's on your son's soccer team. You may see the other black soccer mom and wave. But you don't you don't go to the movies with them. You don't get lunch with them. You don't help them bury a parent. You don't help them raise their children.
Girl, speak about
it. You have no idea who they are. The reason that I am able to emotionally connect and emotionally say, oh my gosh, that's my family on the ground right now, is because I do life with these people. They are in my life.
Yeah.
And not everyone has had my experience to where they are almost the majority of my life.
Yeah.
But that doesn't matter. You can
be intentional.
You can make one decision to say, you know what? And if you're listening right now and you don't know what to do, make a black friend.
Oh God.
How easy.
Find a black friend. Find
Go
a black
out,
person.
Somebody that you know and get to know them for who they are. What have they been through? Where did they come from?
Yeah.
And
oh my gosh, we have those conversations because we started off dance, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the more I talk to you, I learned that there's more alike for us than different.
Yeah.
We have some of the same ideologies, some of the same thought processes. Loony birds, laughing, talking. if you're in pain, I'm in pain.
Yeah.
If you don't feel good, I don't feel good.
Yeah.
If you're hurting or somebody wronged you or they misunderstood you, listen, if you are in a relationship and somebody don't pull up right, we're going the distance what we're doing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's something that I don't say, Jordan, here's my white friend. No, she's just my friend.
Right, exactly.
Or she's the white dancer in my dance company. No, she's just a dancer.
Yeah.
She's an amazing leader. She has a voice. Your assistant is white. You know, she's a girl and a human.
Right.
That part. You know, I am so grateful for how you said, be intentional. Find a black friend. It's obvious that you don't have relationship. That's why you can't get it.
That's why you can't get
it. And for me, when I watched him rock on that man's neck, George Floyd, say his name, he did it for 9 minutes. I was like, God, was there nothing inside of him when I was praying for this man? And yes, I prayed for him because I'm like, oh, how many of them are there? Save his life. He doesn't know you. There's no way he can know you.
Wow, that's so great.
And so for me, I'm watching him rock with his hand on his hip, in his pocket, and you hear, I can't breathe, over and over and over, and nothing in you let that go?
Well, not one thing.
So for me, I thank God for people like you who are passionate, don't care about losing white friends, losing white family members, for what is right. It is right if it was you down there, it's right.
Yeah.
But it's us more than anything, and we don't get it, but we're not even protected by our own Constitution. It's not our country. And people, you want us to sing, you want us to entertain, you want us to run the ball, you want us to tap dance for you, want us to entertain you, you want lip fillers because naturally ours are kind of, you want some hips because everything about us we interchange. There's something about us that's attractive. So why are we the most hated?
It
just bothers me so bad because I know without a shadow of a doubt that there are more Jordans than there are that terrible cop, but we can't, your voices aren't loud enough.
Yeah.
And I will do whatever in my power to continue. This is why you're here. Like, God, why is Jordan here? Why is she so close? And God reveals it to me with every instance, every situation that comes up, I learn even more and more.
Yeah.
That's why. It's not only about ministry. It's not only that she's going to be a leading voice in ministry beyond where she is right now. This is a moment of preparation for you. And you've been preparing you. People don't see their lives as preparation. People don't see that whatever has happened, you're like, oh my gosh, why X, Y, and Z? And I can even talk about my executive assistant, Amanda. Minnesota, Minnie. Okay, why? Why out of all the people that interviewed and that were qualified, I only saw her face.
Right.
I didn't care about anybody else. I wanted her.
Right.
Anything that came with her, I wanted it. And I don't know why, but God does.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't know why you, but God did.
Exactly.
And so for me, I'm not going to apologize. Neither should you. Apologize for all of the unhappy feelings, the sensitivities, the steps that I'm not sure about this. What if people look at me differently? I appreciate that you don't care.
I don't.
I would say something that would not be first lady. Like, I appreciate that you don't give a fill in whatever you want. I'm telling you, hear
exactly.
me in this moment. People need Jordans. People need a woman who looks like you, who understands like no other what this is and what we're living in. The enemy can't stand it. He hates it.
Yeah.
And that's why we fight for it.
You know,
I'm
Pastor,
so grateful.
I was thinking about this yesterday, how...
They say I've unfiltered.
Welcome. Relationships are about trust. And when I look at the different perspectives, it seems like black people have to make a decision to trust white people because they're afraid that we're not really for you.
Yeah, it's true.
We're not really for you, and on the other side,
no,
I'm going to be hurt.
Yeah.
Which is a valid reason not to want to trust somebody, because that's the staple for every relationship.
Yeah.
We're afraid we're going to be hurt on the other end. Now, coming from the other way, mm-hmm. white people, don't want to trust black people because of their skin.
Period.
Which is an invalid reason that you can't even get past that.
Yeah.
And most of the people that are still saying all lives matter, most of the people that are still stuck on that, on what I need to see the facts. What was this man doing? Where's the rest of the tape? If you are, most of those people, unfortunately, are our white Christian community.
It's sad.
And my thing is that we are so busy trying to follow 10 commandments that we can't even follow the two that God left us with. Love God and love people. We have two commandments that we are going to be held to. The 10 commandments are great, but those two. And if you can't love people, I question if you love God, because you can't even obey the second
one. You can't, and then you can't love yourself. There's no way that the young man that put his knee in the neck of a person and killed him like a dog in the street can even know himself. He can't love himself. He can't be in contact with his soul. Yep. There's no way. Oh my God. I have one thing we have to brief. One more thing before we go. Oh my God.
I'm never coming
we're
back.
We're literally out of here. We are over time. It doesn't matter. We're going to finish this one question. It's so important because it just speaks to what our realities are.
Yeah.
Our hostilities of our realities are ever present. It doesn't matter about our beautiful relationship or our beautiful synergy.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter about that. It's how do we make that echo? How do we make that loud? How do we make it bold beyond this moment, beyond the post, beyond the protest, when everything dies back down and goes to normal, when it's not the popping thing to jump on board for? Oh, literally. We've traveled the world together. We've done everything together. But this nation and people are so trained by what they're used to and what they've experienced. Some of them are low-key racist and accidental racist and don't even know it. Mm-hmm. So let's just do this real quick. We landed in a city together. Ha ha ha. We're doing our normal thing. We're getting prepared to walk out to the vehicle that was getting ready to pick us up. Hey, Jordan, pick up the story. I bet you can.
So we get there, we're getting ready to, we're getting out of the vehicle, and automatically the person that's going to open the door comes to open my door. Mm-hmm. Well, I am obviously Pastor Aventer's assistant, so I'm there because of Pastor Aventer. And in my head, I was just like, no, not my door, her door. Like, what are you doing? Because my heart is everything you in that moment, protect you, cover you. And so I was like, what is this man getting my door for? You know, and so I kindly redirected him to the other side of the vehicle.
And even after the redirection, every question he had, tell us what happened.
Yeah, so every question was directed to me. And it happens over and over. You go into a hotel, I remember being in a hotel, standing at the desk, and the lady asked me, ma'am, how will you be paying today? I said, oh, I will not be paying today. Oh, no, ma'am. I will not be. And I always have to look at you and say, Pastor Aventer, how will you be paying today? We go up to the room. Bellman's bringing luggage. Ma'am, where would you like your luggage in this room?
Because there's no way that you, especially you, you know, we have to be real, real intentional and real candid about what this actually is.
Yeah.
You don't look like you should be my assistant. She does not look exactly like she should be my assistant, just like George Floyd and so many others fit the description.
Right. They think that you're there with me.
I have to be your assistant, or right, I have to be just the friend that you brought along. There's no way that you're there working for me or assisting me.
Especially when I have braids.
Nice. Twists, ponytails, you know, whatever.
Yep.
There's no way. But they don't know that you know how to braid.
And sadly, it's...
You know how to braid, don't you, girl?
I know how to braid. A little bit. Please don't text me.
Learning.
Yeah. It's sadly that... It's any place that requires money. Any place that has a sign of power where it looks like, oh, I would be the one that have enough money to stay there, not you. Why would the lady at the desk ask me how I was paying today?
We walk in together. Mm-hmm. We're laughing, we're talking, we're joking. Most of the time, I've begged you not to get anything because I'm like, you're a woman, where they'll get it. but it's in you to just grab stuff. You might have more than me, but they're immediately, hey, ma'am, what do you, open the door. Oh yeah, where do you want? It is so, even if it's a black person, get that, because it's not
so
just white
true.
People's
so
mindset.
True.
Let's really just graze the subject of, we have been subjugated to people's processes of accepting us, or how they will receive us, or how they will perceive us, that we start adopting things and questioning our own value based on how we are received in a moment.
So true.
It's like, wait a minute, do I deserve to be in this room? Do I deserve to have this platform? Do I deserve to stay in this amazing hotel? Wait, am I not worthy? Should I be second? Should I be last? Should I wait for somebody to prefer Jordan over me when I'm here to do the serving, or I'm here to do the speaking? Should I just let her do the talking for me to make sure that we're both treated right?
Wow.
No, catch that. Should I acquiesce to the moment we're in so that I can ensure that whoever this racist person is treats us right from here on out? Because if they find out the opposite, is that going to put us in harm's way?
Yeah.
Girl, we got to do a part two. Because these people
there's so much
to unpack. Guys, you know what? I thank God for Jordan. I thank God that you've tuned in today. I thank God that we were able to pivot. And this is a start to more conversations. We have to do more. And I just want to say thank you for what you've said today. I want to say thank you because I know that there is hope when I look at you.
Thank you.
When I look at you and I get to experience you every day, I know that God is real. I know he is. My people have been suppressed 1619 to the current. My mom is in front of the TV crying, saying it reminds her of 1960, whatever. My mom is like, stop. She's whispering. I'm like, Daddy, where's mommy? She said she's crying in front of the TV. She said she's watching the tear gas and the flames, and it's taking her back to a moment where they shot Dr. King and she had to stay in. So, and people were like, don't talk to your white friends. If they catch you talking to your white friends, they're going to hit you too. She had to let go. She said she hasn't seen some of the people that she met since that day because she wanted to protect them.
Wow.
She's looking at the TV saying, stop, whispering, stop. She's 72. And if a 72-year-old can now feel what a 30-year-old and a 20-year-old and an 18-year-old and a 12-year-old can feel, what are we doing? What are we doing? Whew. So before we leave, I'm sorry.
No.
Can you just give us,
help me, Lord Jesus,
a Jordan get us through phrase of grace for today, real quickly, and we'll have to do it again. Y'all, I apologize. Don't judge my makeup, honey, because of my artist. Listen, Rashad, he's everything. Don't judge me. give us a quick grace drop from Jordan, straight from your heart, please, before we leave.
You know, people are hurting. When your children call your name and you're in your phone and you're not focused, or you don't hear them, or you're trying to get something done, and they don't stop. They don't say, mommy's busy. They keep calling your name, and it gets louder and louder and louder until they are able, and they might cause a complete scene because you are not giving them attention. They have a need and you're not listening. And we have a child, a race in this country that is not being heard, and they're not being seen, and they feel something, and the feelings matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you believe, it's right or wrong. Their feelings matter. And they have a right to get louder and louder until they are ready to cause a complete scene, until they feel heard,
kicking and screaming,
accepted. They do not feel heard and accepted in their own home, in their own country. And that is what we are facing.
Yeah.
And I challenge everyone, especially white people, it is so important to stop talking, to listen. For once, step out of yourself, get out of your phone, get out of what you're selling, whatever you want to do that's promoting yourself. Stop. Listen to what someone else has to say, because they matter and they're hurting and they need help. And we live in the same home. This country is our home. And I want to celebrate July 4th knowing that my Black brothers and sisters feel just as free in this country as I do. We live in a country that represents freedom, land of the free, and home of the brave. Not land of the sometimes free.
Liberty and justice for all.
Not land of the brave when it's easy. Everyone should feel land of the free and home of the brave. And so I encourage you to weep. I encourage you to have some humility, to be open to emotion, be open to forgiveness, be apologetic, and listen to what they are saying.
Thank you. Well, this has been another amazing episode of Ave Unfiltered. Through our eyes, the eyes of a white woman, the eyes of a Black woman who absolutely adore each other. I hope you get it. Thank you.